Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Mock, and we are now in the 10th episode of Resisting Gossip by Matthew Mitchell, subtitle, Winning the War of a Wagging Tongue. And this is the second to last episode. Last time we considered responding to gossip vertically, how we relate to the Lord when we hear gossip said about us. And we looked at how we are to approach that. And we approach it by taking it to God, by asking for justice, and believing that God will answer sooner or later. Now, we are still in responding to gossip, but on the horizontal level, how should we relate to those people that we hear have gossiped about us? What should we do? We find out that someone said something that is true or isn't true about us, and it's bad news. What do we do? Well, Matthew Mitchell has four steps for us. And the first one is supported by Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 47. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And towards the end of chapter 5, he speaks about loving our enemies. This is a very familiar passage to you, I'm sure. He says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." So Jesus is commanding us to love our enemies, not just the ones that we love. And it's really not a surprising thing to say that we love the people that we love. It is more surprising to say that we love those that don't love us, those that are our enemies. Now, this gossip can come from a friend, and we saw that it's most hurtful when it comes from a loved one. Or this gossip can come from an enemy, someone who has your bad at heart. In either case, we are commanded to love that person. And one way that we love that person is by praying. We pray for those who persecute us. We pray for those who speak evil about us. So we are combating the evil speech against us with good speech in prayer, blessing for them. So we are not returning evil for evil. We're giving good to those who have intended evil for us. And in that way, we are imitating Christ, who loved us and who gave himself for us, who blessed us when we were cursing him in our hearts. He died for us. And so there are a lot of things we could pray for those who persecute us. Pray for justice. Just because we are praying for our persecutor does not mean we should exclude justice. God is a God of justice, and justice will always be meted out in one time or another. Ultimately, on the day of judgment, all matters, all wrongs will be righted, and justice will be seen clearly. But we can pray even now for justice. We can even pray for the frustration of our enemies' plans. Maybe we find out some gossip about us that is in the works, that there's some plan. Maybe someone has our bad at heart, and they want us to be removed from a particular position, or they want us to be seen negatively in the eyes of other people. Well, you can pray for the frustration of those malicious efforts. Pray, of course, for your humility in the whole in the whole situation, and for that person's humility, that they would be humbled before God. They would see where they have sinned. And so you can pray for a conviction of sin. It's not a bad thing. It is a good thing to pray that evildoers, people who do evil, whether they are friend or foe, that they will be convicted of sin. We pray for ourselves to be convicted of sin when we sin. Pray for that conviction. That's a work of the Spirit. Pray for repentance. Pray for wisdom for yourself and how to navigate what you had just come about hearing. So pray for those people. I know that doesn't sound like a first course of action, but that is exactly what Jesus calls us to do when we hear about bad things said of us. We should be immediately praying for that person rather than dwelling on some potentially bitter thoughts towards that person. Another thing we should be doing is overlooking the offense. In Proverbs 19:11, says, "Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." Now, most of the time that people are going to speak evil things, say bad things about you behind your back, most of the time, people are just merely expressing their bad opinions of us. And if that's the case, then you can just overlook it. You can simply say, well, it's no worse than I deserve. You know, even if that were true, which it isn't, even if that were true, they don't even know the half of it. I am far worse than they have imagined, than they have told other people. And this is where the fear of man might kick in, when we want to defend every single negative thing that is said about us. We want everyone to have a proper view of us. And so what we're doing is we are trying to be pleasing in the sight of all men. Well, that's a fruitless endeavor, and it's an impossible thing to do. You cannot be pleasing in the sight of all men. And so you'll just have to overlook a lot of them, a lot of these things that you hear, and pray that you would not dwell upon them, that they would, when they enter your mind, that you would pray that God would cause you to not grow embittered towards that person, that you would relate to that person as if they hadn't said it. So overlooking looks like you relating to that person in the same way that you have, in good ways and edifying ways, in acts of service, and in edifying words to that person, even though that person doesn't deserve edifying words, even though that person has done the opposite for you. We don't return malicious words with malicious words. We overlook. Now, of course, some of the time, based on the kind of gossip, the truth or falsity of the gossip, whether it's a secret that you asked someone to keep but was shared, or based on the seriousness of the offense, you may have to confront. And that third step, or the third thing that we could do in responding to gossip horizontally, is to confront. Matthew 18:15, Jesus talks about confronting a brother who has sinned against you. And gossip is a sin, first before God, and second, it is a sin against man. It's bearing bad news behind someone's back from a bad heart. So it's not always unwise to confront the person. But before you confront, you need to ask yourself a few questions here. First is that whatever was said about you that you found out, is there any truth to it? Now, I know that you'll be quick to say every bit of that statement that was said about you is false. And that might be. But it's also possible that there is at least a kernel of truth in that gossip. That's usually what the king of gossip, the devil, is. He does. He takes some truth, maybe a half truth, and he twists it into a whole truth about us, about God. And so before you confront, you need to do some self-examination. Is there any bit of truth to what was being said of me? And maybe that's the truth that that person is hanging on to. Maybe that's the only story that the person knows about me. So, and if it's, whether it's true or not, you can still ask, what can I learn from this? What can I learn about my relationship to this person? What can I learn about that person's heart? What can I learn about how I am before God relating to this? Should I defend myself? Is this a matter so significant that my reputation, which I value, is on the line? Should I defend myself? Or are there people around me that can do the defending? That's ideal, if you have someone who can support you to defend you, then you'd rather have that person defend you than yourself. And then another question you can ask is, can I rejoice in this? You know, the Lord tells us to rejoice in his word all over the place. And that rejoicing is in the context of suffering of all kinds. So Paul, in every circumstance, can you rejoice? He says, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Can you rejoice in some sense, even when you are gossiped about? Can you rejoice because you are being persecuted at some small level that your Savior was sharing as well? Can you rejoice because this matter brings you to the Lord, humbles you? Can you rejoice because eventually justice will be served? Can you rejoice because this is an area that might bring you closer to that person, to be reconciled to that person, to address a matter that has apparently been brewing in that person's heart? So before you confront, ask those questions. And then, of course, in the confrontation, you need to first seek to understand what that person, how that person views what was what they said, how that person views you. Ask questions. And I heard this. I heard that you said this about me. Can you help clarify? Is it true? Did you say that? And gently lay out what was done. This is what you said about me, and now that you've confirmed that you said it, it's not true. And you need to, I'm calling you to confess that this was wrong. Tell him his fault. If he truly has sinned against you with his words, then you need to confront that person. And of course, repay with good is the final step in responding in love horizontally. In 1 Peter 3, 9 through 12, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. You see Peter going back to Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You can't control the things that people say about you. You can be faithful to God by loving that person, even the one who gossips about you, by doing good to that person, by using your own speech for that person's good. And you do so because you know that the eyes of the Lord are on you, that his ears are open to your prayer. And you know that the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God is a God of justice. So you know that he hears you. You know that you can say, God, this is, you are the judge of all the earth. You will do right. You've not called me to mete out justice in every way that that is possible. You've called me to love this person, to serve this person by doing good to them, to pray for them, to confront them in matters of sin. And I'm doing what I can, but I'm leaving it up to you, Lord, because you do all your holy will. And there's a reason for you doing this, for allowing this, for using this in my life. So we pray, we overlook if possible. If not possible, we confront and we do good rather than evil to the person. Hope this was helpful. And next lesson, the final episode, is on regretting gossip. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.